Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
Welcome to the second hour of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go, the world's greatest radio. You are, again, in touch with The Compensatory Concept. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard. To get in contact with the show, call 1-877-932-9766, and we will take your call and try to get you on immediately. Let's do this. Mr. Fuller, let's pick up. Oh, by the way, we are discussing racism, white supremacy as a topic. How do you address that when somebody asks you about that? And Mr. Fuller, in the first hour, explained that. And all throughout this hour, he will do that. Let's go back to the end of the first hour, Mr. Fuller, when you were speaking about that statement that you made, you do at all times. Could you repeat that? And what page is that on in the, is that in the new revised?
That's in the revised expanded edition, the pledge.
Okay. What right. page is that on, by the way?
I don't have it right in front of me.
Okay. But repeat that, what you had mentioned, yes, what the pledge
is. Because that's all you have to do. I mean, you know, it becomes very... In the early 1980s, someone asked me about that. What do you do? What do you tell your children to do sometimes when they don't want to stand or something like that? I say, you stand and you take the pledge. And they said, well, say, what do you say? I say, you say the truth about whatever the pledge is. So I looked at the current pledge, the one that we use in the Northwestern Hemisphere, and I said, well, that kind of flirts with the truth there. I mean, it looks like, you know... the words to that, I mean, and even that song that is sung called the Anthem, I mean, is that the type of song that you want to send to the world? I mean, that's not the best choice of a song, in my opinion. Talking about what, you know, bombs bursting in air, I mean, you know, we have enough of that. Maybe we should... you know, adapt another one. But in the meantime, if they say you have to honor that and all like that, there's a compensatory way of doing it. And I'm saying when it comes to the flag, if they say you're disrespecting the flag, you can say, well, that's impossible based on what I'm going to say, because I'm going to take the pledge, all right? I'm going to take a pledge to that whatever flag you show me, and it's going to be right on point, and it's going to be the best pledge that you can ever take anytime, anywhere, forever. Okay. And I say, here it is.
Okay.
I do, at all times, relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. And it can't get any better than that. You're telling the truth. See, I mean, you know, a lot of flag pledges, people are not telling the truth. That's number one. If you look at the words, I mean, you say, hey, somebody here might not be telling the truth. But if you make that statement, you'll always be telling the truth. I don't care who you are or where you are. If you're half drunk and you make that pledge, you're telling the truth. I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. Now, that's in using words. Now, when you're on a football field or something like that, and you've been told not to take a knee, don't take a knee. This is just my suggestion, something I would do myself. Well, what would I do if I still want to stay true to my beliefs and still make my point? I would have in my helmet a piece of paper, a large one, you know, and then I would take it out and hold it up, or a sign of some type. I would unroll it or whatnot, and would have one thing on it, a question mark. What is that question mark? That's the compensatory universal flag. Why? Because it applies to every situation on the planet where there is some type of controversy. And you come into the world asking questions. That's why I always say on this program, the compensatory concept is that you are always asking questions. People ask questions all day long. That fits every situation. Questions. The question mark, that symbol of a question mark. So what you're doing, you're questioning, what is this all about on this football field? Why are we playing football? Why are we paying all this money for football players? And what does football have to do with ladies on the sidelines jumping up and down, I mean, flashing their legs and whatnot, and, you know, and showing their belly buttons? And what does that have to do also with an anthem of any kind, advertising whatever, and all these other signs, I mean, that you see all around the stadium itself, advertising beer and, you know, beer, you know, well, is that healthy? I mean, you know, that might not be healthy even for a football player.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I mean, he might need to be drinking something else if he's going to get up some strength, because that beer is not going to give him no strength.
Okay, with that being said, Mr. Fuller, this is where the problem, one of the problems come in at, or an intersection where the problems come in at. Number one, a Tim Tebow, a former NFL football player, out of the University of Florida, took a knee on the football field in protest against abortion, and nobody said anything. Back in the early 50s, there were a few Major League Baseball teams that took a knee in protest of black ball players entering Major League Baseball, and nothing was said. But when this black man, Colin Kaepernick, took a knee because he felt that the mistreatment of black folks was bad, and he took that knee in a suggestion by a white football player who said that sitting on a bench, because that was his protest at first, was not effective, but by taking a knee, he would bring attention to that. It makes for a controversy. Why you let Tim Tebow go, and then these white ball players, major league ball players, they took a knee and you didn't say nothing then, but this black man takes a knee, and now you want to say this. That brings about confusion, Mr. Fuller.
Sure it does, and it also indicates there might be a racist intent, all right? So, but you're still... You're trying, you know, you're in prison. You're trying to make a deal with the prison masters and whatnot. So when they tell you you can't do one thing, but they didn't say you couldn't do something else, all right? So under the, you know, banner of democracy, okay, and free speech, okay, well, they say you can't take a knee, regardless of what they let somebody else do. If they tell me I can't take a knee, but I still have to be in prison and I have to have a job and all like that, they say, well, give me the list of things that I can't do. But I'm not going to even ask that until that comes up. Because one thing that they told me not to do, apparently, from what I'm hearing, is that I couldn't take a knee.
But you let somebody else take a knee.
No, but
you didn't say nothing.
I can say something about that, but if they're not going to act on it, and they tell me, yeah, but you are not going to take a knee. Okay, So the compensatory code is about what can I do, all right? Not all the things I can't do, because being a prisoner of war is a long list of things of what I can't do. But so I asked the prison master, the prison warden, warden, what can I do, all right? And if you say, well, one thing you can't do is take a knee, even though other people take a knee. I say, well, I don't think that's correct, but since you're giving me a direct order, okay, I won't take a knee.
So then
but
you
then
stand
when
up.
I get out there on that field, what I will do, I will stand up. All right, I won't take a knee.
With that sign.
But I will take that
piece of sign. Paper or sign.
All right. You know, and big enough for everybody to see, and for when they can put the camera on it and whatnot, with a question mark. Because I'm doing the same thing Marvin Gaye in his song did.
What's going on? Mm-hmm.
What is all of this about, all right, which is just as effective, I think. It would be still making the point.
Okay.
You know, and if you ask me if I'm being patriotic, how come I ain't saying the pledge, then I say the compensatory universal pledge that nobody, I don't think, can attack.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Let's do this. Say that one more time so all of the so-called America can hear, and around the world.
Around the world. Yeah. It won't apply to any flag.
Right. Just say
all
that
right.
pledge one more time so that it's clear. No mistake about it.
Yes, sir. And in my opinion, it's the most truthful pledge that you can have.
Okay.
If you're going to take a pledge to any flag anywhere.
Okay.
Okay.
Here it is.
I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me, and that is the truth. There's no way to get around that truth.
Okay.
Anytime anybody takes that pledge anywhere on earth, day or night, I mean, even if the flag is in a case, or the flag is on the end of a pole, or if the flag is lying on the ground, you're still relating to that flag the exact same way that the flag is relating to you, and no one can prove that you're not.
Okay. 1-877-932-9766. What is your comment on that statement, which I think is a very powerful statement? All righty. In the meantime, let's do this. Mr. Palmer says this. Mr. Fuller, you have stated many times that non-white people continue to be confused because we still don't understand what white supremacy is and how it works. Can non-white people learn not to be comfortable being institutionalized prisoners into the system of white supremacy, racism, and or not confusing comfort with justice?
Yes. The answer is yes. Otherwise, I wouldn't have written a book, and I wouldn't be on air today talking about it. Because I've said no major problem. Everybody that I've ever even heard of had some kind of problem at some time in their existence, even if it's no more than trying to figure out a way how to paddle a canoe or how to swim. That's a problem. You know, if you're trying to learn how to swim and you don't know how, and you jump in the water, that can be a problem, okay? So everybody has some type of problem at some time. I don't know if anybody doesn't have a problem. So the compensatory code, which is why that's called compensatory, making up for what's missing, is that if you have a problem, you want that problem solved. But you can't solve any major problem among the people of the planet if you are a person of color without solving the race problem. You're going to continue to have every type of problem you can name in every area of activity, because the white supremacist is going to try to mess you up in every area of activity that you try to do anything in if you're a person of color. They're going to dabble in it and mess it up. And this is why we have a race problem. Otherwise, that would not be the biggest problem on earth. It affects everybody, white and non-white, because it's a system that's designed intentionally to dominate and mistreat people based on color. That's an artificial system, and it poisons everything. I don't care what you set out to do in economics, labor, law. You try to make a law, And either sooner or later, you run right into something. Yeah, but what about this color thing? I mean, what kind of laws are we going to make, you know, in regards to people of color? We got to have some kind of laws, all right? And if you say, well, what religion are we going to? Let's come up with a new religion. The old religions haven't worked, okay? Yeah, but what kind of religion can we come up with where, well, you know, we don't have to give some type of regard to what color somebody is, okay? Like Martin Luther King said, Reverend Martin Luther King said that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is the most separate
segregated
hour in Christian history, okay, or in Christian practices. Based on what? What do you mean by segregated? Segregated on the kind of people's beliefs? No, on the kind of what color you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just add, you got more houses of prostitution where you have black and white together on a Sunday morning than you have in churches.
Wow.
Yeah, you have black females in all these little motels out on highways and whatnot with white men. A routine thing that nobody even pays any attention to all over the world.
Yes.
Okay? You know, white men, it's the weekend. I mean, you know, let's go and get some of them colored gals, you know, take them to the motel and have a party. Okay?
Yes.
All right. So, you know, a lot of people just overlook that because we've gotten so used to it.
Exactly.
But that's on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. See, you're talking about a weekend. See, on Sunday morning, if you just take the roofs off of every motel on the planet, you'll find a lot of that going on.
That's what our guest...
And you take the roofs off of the churches, and you'll find maybe there might be a black janitor, and he's not taking part in the services.
Okay. All righty. Let's do this. Caller, you are now on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Top of the morning to you, too. This is Lance calling from Bakersfield. Lance of hashtag Truth Rising, Truth Rising 911 on BitChute. And my question is for Bobby Nils for you, Jr. For context to this question, I'm going to say that the, and this is a fact, this is not my opinion, that the so-called Jewish Holocaust of World War II is one of the only, if not the only, historical event, or so-called historical event, to be protected and enforced by laws. There's laws on the books in several different countries that forbid people to talk about it, to deny or to question the validity of 6 million people dying, gas chamber myth, et cetera, et cetera. Also, for context to this question, the fact that the Jews claim, these so-called Jews claim to be the chosen people of God, and there are such a thing as Christian Zionists, and in regards to what was just spoken on about the Christian churches and the separation of the people, and that according to their own writings, is that there's a difference between a so-called Jew and a Gentile, the Julian versus the Goyim, and what a Goyim is. And the question is, the supremacy that's not being talked about, and the fact that the majority of these so-called Jews claim to not be white, and yet there is a supremacy known as Jewish supremacy that is being practiced and put into and into the minds of people where they are actually accepted in their concept, is actually accepted by people worldwide in organizations such as the United Nations as being valid. So the question, with all that being said, is Jewish supremacy versus, as opposed to, white supremacy. Although these people who are the majority can actually be classified as white, but they do not classify themselves as white. So what is your view on that dichotomy?
Okay, Mr. Fuller?
Power come right out of the code. Of course, we're talking about at least a religious label. That label is called Judaism, which last time I checked, is supposed to be a religion, all right, along with Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, Christianity, okay? So, what does the code say when it comes to anything that has to do directly and indirectly with religion? Okay, it's three things. It's only, see, you don't have to go through all this other stuff. See, codification is about simplification, too. You take complicated things, and rather than go and have a 700-day argument with somebody, and, you know, you're not looking for an argument, you're trying to settle arguments. So the fastest way to do this in the compensatory manner and slice through all of this controversy, because I've heard these type of controversies batted around and whatnot, and at a certain point, I tuned it out because it was so many sides of so many different types of arguments, it added to confusion. That kept added to more confusion and more confusion. And the white supremacists strive off of confusion, including religious confusion. So I said the best way to go about it as a victim of racism is this. Three questions. See, I'm saying all problems can be solved through the process of questions and answers, and it's just three. You don't have to go outside of those three. And they are, what is the name of your religion, sir or ma'am? That's anybody that you encounter. If they start talking about religion, you say, wait a minute, all right, before we get into it, any details of the history of your religion and all like that, what is the name of your religion, sir? And wait for the answer and don't interfere with the answer. That's always a mistake because now you're leading to an argument, which is what you don't want is a religious argument because that's going nowhere. That's been guaranteed to go nowhere. So you ask the person the name of his or her religion. That's number one. Number two, what does your religion require you to do, sir or ma'am, in all areas of activity? And then you name them. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, that's other people's religions, sex, and war. Because most religions have requirements, all right? So you just want to know, what does that person's religion require that person to do according to his or her religion? That's number two. Number three, this is the dynamite question, all right? This is the bottom line question. What does your religion, sir or ma'am, require you to do when you interact with me in any one or more of those nine areas of activity? And that's all you want to know. And wait for the answer. Wait for a thorough answer, particularly in that last question. Because what you want to know, really want to know about anybody's religion at the end of the day is that when a person encounters you, even with a religion you have never heard of before, all you really want to know is how they're going to relate to you. You don't need to know anything about the history of their religion or what their agenda is, anything. They just want, see, and now you can hold up. You'll find the truth real quick based on what they told you. You will know whether they told the truth or whether they lied. And if they lied about any part of those answers, all right, now, if the person appears to be a white person, you say, that's a suspected white supremacist running a game on me. It's as simple as that. I mean, you are definitely on my watch list. I mean, I asked you to tell me what your religion required you to do when you encountered me. And then I caught you doing something else other than what you told me. All right? One time, that's all it takes. You did something other than what you told me. One of the main things is, did you lie to me about anything that you said? Because if you lied to me, all bets are off anyway. Because according to the compensatory counter-racist code, that's the one thing that a white person cannot do to a black person anywhere without being put on the racist suspect list forever. until racism itself no longer exists.
Okay.
Once you get on that "you told me a lie" list, you are a racist suspect until racism no longer exists.
All righty.
That's an absolute.
Okay.
See, codification is about having absolutes. That way you don't get confused.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for your call, then, very much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. TalkTimeRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, politics. And here's one that I'm going to share with you. And it is called All in the Family with S. Yolanda Robinson. Now, what is that show is about? Why don't you tune in and find out and even ask her what does that S stand for? All you have to do is go to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click on programs for scheduled times. That's from TalkTainmentRadio.com. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, and I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Our on today's topic has been how white supremacy as a topic. If someone asks you about that, how do you answer them? And Mr. Fuller has been explaining that along with your questions that you have, and he's been answering them. And let's see here. Let's go to this question here. Why are white supremacists at war with themselves, non-white people, and the creator of the universe?
Because the white supremacists, according to, you know, evidence, believe in war. They worship war. They like war. Most of the people's statues you see around a city and whatnot, it's not of some doctor or lawyer or person that, you know, does something constructive. Your most prominent people in a history book in the system of white supremacy are people who tore up things, destroyed things. I mean, went great distances to conquer people. They brag about people being conquered. You can turn on television, and everybody's got a gun in their hand. You know, hey, kill something, kill somebody somewhere, you know, all the time. I mean, hey, this is sport. This is recreation, we call it, you know. This is fun. Video games, what? About things being torn up, cars turning over, buildings burning, bombs dropping. So when you have people teaching people that, white and non-white, they get a straight dose of this nonstop all the time and make it look like it's fun. Well, the result is people make it fun, white and non-white people, in a system that's designed to make killing fun. War games, they call it. Games, you know, just like playing cards. Killing somebody is like playing cards in the mind of a white supremacist. They glorify death, and they cause their victims to glorify it. That's why you've got so many black people out here slaughtering each other about nothing, okay? Least little thing, I'll go home and get my gun. I'll shoot you right now, MF. I mean, somewhere, some black person is doing that right now. I mean, a whole lot of black somebodies are doing that right this minute as I speak, okay? The white supremacists spread this right from grade one. You go to the elementary school, they tell you about people like Napoleon, Julius Caesar, Caesar Augustus.
Yes.
Just go down the list.
Okay, got to leave it there. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN. Podcasts are available. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. Nick, your question is up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicken online. K-I-N. Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
ASHKICKIN. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of a Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And we have been discussing racism as a topic, as one of our Gmailers wrote in. And a very powerful statement was made before we go to the phone lines at the beginning of the second hour. And Mr. Fuller, I want to make sure that I got this correctly. You said, I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir. Okay. And I'm saying that's a flag pledge that anybody anywhere can use anytime and around any type of flag. If somebody tells you, take a pledge to this flag, you take that pledge, and you'll be right on point. That's the best possible pledge that you can make. I came up with that idea in 1984 when somebody asked me about it. I mean, you know, there was a flag controversy then, back in 1984, if I recall correctly. And I said, well, I'll try to come up with a compensatory pledge that will be non-controversial if you look at it for what it really is, because a lot of the pledges out here really don't tell the truth. When you're making the pledge, you're not really telling the truth. I'm not saying which ones, but if you look at the words,
You'll say, is this true? You know, you'll ask yourself that. That's the question.
Okay.
So, therefore, I came up with that one. I told somebody who called me long distance. They said, Fuller, you're the code man. I mean, you know, what do you got to say about all this flag thing? I said, well, you try to come up with a compensatory pledge. I mean, you know, that accurately reflects what's really going on. I mean, you know, and no half-stepping. The best possible one that you can possibly come up with. That's what compensatory logic is supposed to be about, doing the best possible thing that can be done. I told someone then that it would probably take me, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. It took me about 4 years. Okay? I was writing and tearing up paper and writing and tearing up paper, and finally I came up with just that simple one. Okay. It was real simple,
yeah,
and right to the point. And I think that, you know, I think that until someone comes up with a better one, I can't think of a better one.
Okay.
And I'd like to say this. Someone said at that time that, yeah, Fuller, but how does the flag relate to you? How are you going to answer that question? And you would just say the same thing you said before. I just told you. I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me, unquote. I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. Now, if the person just persists, like a lot of people will, say, oh, yeah, but that's double talk and blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, how does the flag relate to you? All right. They might get around to a question. Now, all questions have answers. Then that's when you can say, I don't know, but you can ask the flag.
Okay. Speaking about asking the flag, let's ask the caller. Caller, you are now on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir, Mr. Fuller. I've heard you say several years that there is no such thing as a black marriage or a black family in the system of white supremacy. Now, that's the comment. Now, here's the question. How do black people consider themselves to be married or have a family when they're in prison? Not only that, but how do black people consider themselves to be married and having a family when you're still in the bottom of the slave ship? I'd like your response to that.
All righty. Thank you.
The same way that people are supposed to act if they are prisoners of war, and they are prisoners of war in a war that they had nothing to do with starting. Okay? They are captive people. So how do captive people supposed to act? They're supposed to try to do something about getting rid of that prison. That's number one. And they are supposed to look out for each other in the process of doing it. That's all. The code calls it. We don't have families because prisoners of war do not have families. That's been taken away from them, okay? But you do have care mates. That's what the code book calls them. Your spouse you call a care mate, and you call your entire, you know, what you used to call a family, you call it a care unit. But see, you emphasize that first part of, you know, unit or mate. Care, C-A-R-E. In other words, people that you're supposed to care for, you do what you can for them of constructive value, and they should do what all that they can for you. Care mate, care unit. That's what you have as prisoners of war, because family means you got a support system all over the world. Everybody's supporting you. I mean, you're in a system that is in favor of you. But if you're a person of color and you're on planet Earth in 2018, you got a system in place that is not in your favor. It is anti-color. On account of your color, you have been made a prisoner of war. War has been made against you because of your color. Because the white supremacist says you have the incorrect color to be treated like a human being. You could be treated like a human being, but you're not a human being if you have color in your skin. You are a thing. You're an animal. You are something else other than a real person. you are three-fifths of a person, maybe, or maybe one-half of a person, or maybe no person at all. That's white supremacist doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why is it I'm not a person? Because you have color in your skin. Boy, wake up and smell the coffee. You got color in your skin. Sorry about that, old buddy.
Mm.
But you are supposed to be mistreated on account of you got color in your skin. That is an absolute no-no in my world. I'm a white supremacist. Get used to it.
Okay.
Now, that's the whole doctrine.
Whole doctrine. Okay, Nick, this is your question up here. It says, my question for Mr. Fuller is, why all of a sudden, Mr. Fuller, are we becoming programmed to think that being authentically black means using profanity, adopting a certain cadence, and just acting ghetto in general? Even so-called famous black academics are altering their language and personalities to fit a mold which to me seems like an insulting caricature of black culture. Black intellectuals in the academy are mocked and accused of hating their own race if they are not, quote, talking black, end of quote. One black friend of mine was even accused of being a black Republican just because he spoke articulately. Mr. Fuller, are the white supremacists behind this new unapologetically black movement? Thanks, Nick from Richmond.
Absolutely. Because the question is it constructive? Is modern 2018, year 2018, black culture constructive? The answer is no. It's almost pure garbage, all of it. Black culture has to be thrown in the garbage can. I mean, we almost got to start from scratch. Because the whites, what is culture? Culture is what you do. And you're either doing something constructive or you're doing something non-constructive. So just look at what black people do when they're on their own and the way that we talk to each other, the way that we popularize, I mean, all kinds of things that are either constructive or non-constructive. And you've got two columns to choose from now. It's not but two. There ain't no such thing as in between. Constructive, non-constructive. And black culture, I wouldn't wish that on nobody if I had correct intent. You wish black culture on an enemy. Let them adopt that stuff that black people worship, all of it, the way we talk and everything, and see how far they get. See how far they get and how more powerful that they come. Less beggars. Like we are, as prisoners of war. We're just beggars, perpetual beggars. You got to beg when you're a prisoner of war. You can't get anything on your own. You're a prisoner of war. You can't disobey the prison rules without being punished, okay? So black culture has been generated in the prison culture, all right? And what do prisoners do when they really are under real tight control and don't have any hope at all? They turn on each other, okay? You have prison riots, most of it, prisoner against prisoner,
yes,
armed
sir.
Gangs and all like that. That's mm-hmm. all they look forward to. Why? Because you become what they call you, animal, all right? You're worse than animals because birds look out for each other, all right? Alligators look out for each other. Horses look out for each other, okay? Buffalo in their natural habitats and whatnot. Ants do the same thing, but they fight when they're under conditions that are artificial.
Okay. All righty. From the Gmails here, this is from Mr. Walker. He says this, hello again, Mr. Fuller. I'm writing in response to the movie suggestions that you mentioned. I also have a few suggestions myself which provide many good lessons. Movies based on true stories. Number one, the Shaka Zulu miniseries, which came out in 1986. Number two, Spartacus, TV series, which was on the Stars Network. This series was four seasons. And number three, Mr. Fuller, 300, which is about the Spartan slash Persian battle of Thermopylae, led by King Leonidas of Sparta. These were some suggestions. Have you seen any of those movies or series?
I saw, I think, many years ago, Spartacus, but I didn't get much out of it myself. But anything, any movie that anybody suggests, people, according to the compensatory code, you can look at anything that anybody suggests. Mm-hmm. Look at any magazine, any book, any movie, any TV series where you think that there are some lessons in there. But when you suggest a movie, you should have looked at it with the idea of finding out if there's a lesson in there that you can use yourself.
Okay.
Or someone else can use of constructive value. Any lesson of constructive value, that's what you look for.
Yes,
that
sir.
Includes all the things, lessons of what is non-constructive, because what is non-constructive is the opposite of what is constructive. So you can look at movies that have a lot of destructive elements in it in order to find out what not to do.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Another way that you can listen to our program is on TalkTainmentRadio.com is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com, hit the Listen Live button, and when you do that, you got the program right here. And like and share. Speaking about that, TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. To get in contact with the show by phone, call 877-932-9766. However, this is the 45-minute mark, which is now 10:47, and this is the time that we have allowed for Mr. Fuller to speak about his book before we do the donation hour thing. Mr. Fuller, speak about your book.
Yes, you can get the book, the basic revised expanded edition, by going to producejustice.com. Also, there's the compensatory codified word guide, counter-racist codified word guide. That's an addition to the basic book. I would have liked to have had both of these volumes in one book, because I have a standard codified slogan, one problem, one book. The race problem is one problem. So anybody who's writing a book should try to put everything in that one book that pertains to what they think will help to solve here in 2018, and that's what I've tried to do. Not just what the problem is, but what an individual person can do to help solve the race problem, help to eliminate the system of white supremacy and replace it with the system of justice. Also, someone requested that the original basic textbook, which is now the revised expanded edition that came out in 1984, that it be republished. Some people have requested that for some strange reasons which I can't understand, but since they understand it, it's practically covered in the revised expanded edition. Everything that's in the original edition has been repeated in the revised expanded edition. But some people say they like the format or something like that, so that's there too. And you can get it by going to, you can get any one of the three volumes by going to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com.
Alrighty, producejustice.com. Alrighty, 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call to get in contact with the show. 7 Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, if at gmail.com is another way. But this one right here is by phone. Caller, you are now on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
As academia, you know, saying in this struggle against white supremacy, Dr. Claude Anderson, and you and your views seem to be at odds. you say that there's nothing you can do in the realm of white supremacy. You are a prisoner. And that's true to a defeatist, one of a defeatist attitude. And it's also an absolute truth at the same time. But Dr. Claude Anderson says that as a people, you know what I'm saying, we shouldn't look at that as a defeatist attitude. We should partake in maneuvers to build ourselves up as a people. And I wanted to know, Dr. Fuller, why you academians, right, don't mention each other, don't exist in a diatribe, get in with a diatribe with each other to come to some format or platform which we can stand on.
Okay, Mr. Fuller?
If I understand the question, the code does not allow me to be at odds with any non-white person about how best to solve the problem of racism. That's absolutely prohibited. I can't do that. I'm not opposing anybody. I'm not standing in anybody's way. All right? Now, that's number one. Regardless of who it is, I'm not, you know, I'm just taking the course that I say, which is not a defeatist course, depending on what you mean by defeatist. Everything in the code book is designed to help a person to solve problems. Everything is about problem solving. The race problem is a problem. So maybe it's something I'm missing here. So fill me in.
When I say at odds, maybe that might have been too strong of a word, because he didn't say anything personally against you, you know, in your format or your platform from which you speak upon. But his views as your views, right, and differentiate amongst each other, you know what I'm saying? And it's and when you say, and I understand where he's coming from, when you say we are in a prison, right? White supremacy is the only political, you know what I'm saying, political, economical, you know what I'm saying, position on the planet Earth, right? And that's true. And that is an absolute truth. But he comes from a framework where he says that you as a people were here before them, and you as a people built upon with yourself and within yourself, right, as a better people, and that this is that this white supremacy is an illusion that has been cast over you, right? But you say that white supremacy, you know, which is an absolute truth, you know, is real, and we can see it. But you know what I'm saying? It seems that y'all two viewpoints, right, collide with each other. And I'm wanting to understand why academians don't contact with each other, keep in contact with each other, and discuss, you know what I'm saying, why their two worlds collide.
Well, I can't explain other people's actions. See, that's what I try to explain what the white supremacists are doing. And as far as illusions are concerned, I don't think that a black person who's being dragged behind a truck, that's an illusion. I mean, that's real.
It's not an illusion, right? Nothing I'm saying is against what you are teaching. It is an absolute truth, right? But then on the other side of that truth, right, it is a viewpoint that says, hey, you can pull yourself up from the bootstraps, if you will, right, and overcome this, okay? And I'm just saying, y'all two viewpoints, I don't want to use the word collide, you know, intermingle with each other, right? But don't give us an avenue or venue for, you know what I'm saying, taking back over or putting ourselves on top.
Well, maybe I don't understand the question, but I have written a book directed to the individual person, which I think I have a concept. The concept could be incorrect. I want to say that. But I believe that if you have a code that solves the problem of each and every individual person, you will be automatically solving the problem of every individual person. I just tailored something to the individual. I'm not against problem solving. In fact, the book is written to do nothing but that. It's not saying the problem can't be solved. Someone said to me some years ago, Fuller, the race problem can't be solved. Nothing can be done. It can't be solved. And I said, and then the person that told me that said, it can be discussed, but it can't be solved. And then I said,
you believe that?
Then, well, let me say this. Then I said, if it can't be solved, it's no point in discussing it. That's insane. That's getting to be more insane than we already are. Why discuss a problem as being a problem that can't be solved? I started out with the premise that the problem can be solved, but you got to go about it systematically. And I tried to come up with a system for doing so. Now, other people are supposed to be trying to come up with systems. I'm not opposing anybody. I'm not standing in anybody's way. I say everybody step up to the plate. In fact, everybody who's listening to my program is supposed to be writing code themselves about what? How to solve whatever problem they're looking at each and every day. Everybody on the planet who hears Neely Fuller talking about what we need as a code, Neely Fuller is not the center of the universe. I mean, to solve this problem is going to take everybody's efforts. So everybody should be sitting down every day trying to make an outline, which is nothing but a code is nothing but an outline or a plan for problem solving, because every time a non-white person solves any problem, that is a step in the direction of taking away the power of the white supremacists automatically.
All right.
I appreciate your answer, and I'll call next week with a different way of asking that same question.
Thank you so much, my brother. All righty. Good flow on the conversation, Mr. Fuller, and just outstanding today's show on how to address white supremacy as a topic. I'm just really proud of you, and this statement, I just can't get it out of my mind. I do, at all times, relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. That is a powerful statement. And you made it, and you say you made it back in 1984.
And it is true. It is true of any pledge. Anytime you take that pledge to any flag, I don't care what kind of flag it is. I don't care if the flag is in the shape of a flower, or the flag is on a wall, or the flag is in the middle of a highway and whatnot. You're relating to that flag the exact same way that the flag relates to you.
Alrighty.
It's impossible not to.
All righty. Well, we've come to the close of the show, so let me say this. Thank you, listeners, for the pleasure of your time. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio the way it should be heard. We will see you next week with a dynamic topic, which will be the verdict in the system of racism and white supremacy. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all